Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We would certainly love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. Well, today we are welcoming back Sean Cochran to our show. Sean is a retired attorney and the CEO of Men for Life, a national pro-life organization calling men to reclaim biblical masculinity and step off the sidelines and get into the fight for life, family, and faith. And his journey there began in a place of darkness. The loss of his own child to an abortion sent him spiraling through failed colleges, homelessness, addiction, unemployment, and crime before God brought him through it. Today, he lives in Louisiana with his wife, Dr. Michelle Cochran, and their five young children, two biological and three adopted. And he and they are building the family he once thought he lost the chance to have. And that's a God of miracles. And also, that's the result of his parents' prayers. So today, Sean's going to be joining us to speak about abortion in really a product of failed masculinity, and how Men for Life is restoring biblical masculinity and equipping men to speak boldly for life, family, and faith. You could go out to his website, menforlife.org. We had a wonderful conversation with Sean yesterday, where he was just telling his story. And so stay tuned today. It will be better.
And we'd like to take a moment to remind you that EWTN is only made possible through the generosity of viewers like you. If EWTN has strengthened your faith or blessed your family, we humbly ask you to
prayerfully
consider making a financial gift to EWTN. Go to EWTNmission.com so we may continue to bring Christ's message to the world. As Mother Angelica used to say, please keep us between your gas and electric bill. We can't do this without you. You can go to EWTNmission.com to donate. And thank you in advance. Thank you for all the times that you have given. We're all in this together for the glory of God to have shows like these and so many others that promote life, marriage, and the family. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Well, our guest today is Sean Cochran. He is the CEO of Men for Life. Go out to the website, menforlife.org. Well, Sean, we want you to tell our family in a summary, briefly, a little bit about your testimony and your fight in this, and then tell us about the vision and the purpose of Men for Life.
I lost my first child to abortion when I was 19. It was against my wishes. I fought for his life, and I lost. And you know, the impact on that of that on me was that I ended up failing out of college. I moved home. I failed out of another college two more times. And 8 years later, I was at the end of a seven-year methamphetamine addiction, homeless, unemployed, and overdosing in a hotel room. And during that period, I didn't make the connection between the abortion and all the destructive behaviors and the way that I felt inside, because I was told very clearly that it didn't affect me. And it wasn't until treatment that a counselor helped me to make that connection and to recognize. And here's where it lies. It's not in what I get criticized by the opposition sometimes is, how could you have felt such a deep connection to a child that you never met, right? And that's not the issue. By telling me that there was nothing that I could do to protect the life of my child, which is something that is inherently an obligation of men, and I knew that even as a 19-year-old, I was completely made powerless and stripped of my masculinity. And that is where the destructive behavior came in. And so because of that, you know, through treatment, I went on to college, law school, married an amazing wife who was too good for me then and is too good for me now. Have five young kids, and we have this great life. And I stopped practicing law and ended up being pulled into this ministry by God forcefully, against my wishes. And I'm so grateful for that. But it's the recognition of the masculine obligation of men to protect, to provide, to lead, and to serve, right? Right. And to do it in a way that leaves a legacy that honors God. And I think that's the heart of Men for Life. You know, if 54% of men in America are pro-life, and that's based on a Gallup poll from June of last year, where are they? Mm. What are they doing? Because being passive, being silent, that is a failure of masculinity. And it's because of the passivity and silence of good men that we are currently in a place where in 1975, 2 years after Roe, there was 1 million abortions in America. In 2025, 50 years later, there was 1.26 million abortions in America. Like, we're not winning,
right?
And we're fighting. And so the issue is we can't win if we're fighting with one hand tied behind our back. And that hand is the men. If men are on the sidelines, if men are not in the arena fighting for life, we will not win. But if men step off the sidelines, reject passivity and silence, step into the arena to fight boldly for life, family, and faith, I believe we can end abortion in a single generation.
Mm-hmm. It's an amazing vision. And outlook, and one that I've never quite heard put that way. Your point is that abortion is the product of failed masculinity. Who's ever said that? You know, I mean, you're saying that,
right?
Because there are other factors in terms of legal and this and that. And you say, so we can only do so much legally. Men can only say so much in the legal realm because they're looking at the woman, but you're saying, we gotta flip this and say, if guys would just be guys, men would be men, servants of women and of children, of the Lord, chaste and so on. Maybe we could end this in a generation or so. There'd be no need for this if we'd be truly chaste and we put forth a vision of what it means to be united to a woman in holiness and in purity, and that's where you're going.
Right, but it starts in the home.
Yeah.
You know, we can talk about the legal hurdles, and there are people doing great work to get over the legal hurdles and to change the laws. But changing the culture is what Men for Life is focused on. And that starts in the home. It starts with speaking about it to your family, to your wife, to your kids. It starts in work. When the conversation comes up, not shying away from it because you're scared to be the man who's talking about abortion, right? I think that it's important that when Men for Life, when we say we want men to return to the arena, return is an important part there, because if you go back to the first century Christians, if you go back to the very first apostolic teaching and writing, the Didache, it says very clearly in the Didache, which was written, some say, by the apostles, it says, you shall not kill a child born or in the womb. Mm-hmm. Okay? And then you go to the second century, and you look at Basil of Caesarea. And Basil of Caesarea, who was a slave and was freed and set to the island of Apennia, the Apollonian Islands, and put in charge over the cemetery there. And he also had a church congregation. Well, in ancient Rome, we had the infanticide walls, right? Mm-hmm. Like any baby born with any defect, or boy and a girl when you wanted a boy, just like today, green eyes, you wanted blue. Mm-hmm. Put them on the infanticide walls to die of exposure, to be eaten by animals, or just starvation, right? Yeah. And Basil of Caesarea said no, because Jesus Christ was fully human, fully God, in the womb. Therefore, life has value in the womb. And all life has value. And so they started watching. They called them life watches, and they'd watch the infanticide walls. And when a baby was born, these Christians would save them from the infanticide walls and adopt them into Christian homes. Mm-hmm. But then you go to the fourth century and look at St. Athanasius. St. Athanasius was so appalled by this as he's fighting for the incarnation, right? He's fighting against the heresies that said the incarnation wasn't real. And he's so appalled by this that he took his congregations to the infanticide walls and tore them down brick by brick and carried the bricks away. Now, We as men cannot say, I'm scared to have a conversation about abortion at work because somebody might not like me or might say something hateful about me, when these early Christians, these men, mm-hmm. were willing to expose themselves to penalties of death in ancient Rome for tearing down the infanticide walls, and they didn't get killed. Instead, Emperor Valerian saw these actions, rethought their laws, and passed the very first laws against infanticide and abortion in 374 AD. Mm-hmm. Because of the actions of Christian men, because of the actions of the church. And so when I say return to the arena, like, we've lost that. Mm-hmm. And it's time for men to take lead and to fight boldly for life.
Right. And so in the returning to the arena, we have to pray that they get awakened. But somebody's got to call them. Right?
Yes.
And so hopefully this is the clarion call from Men for Life to say, we need to wake up. We need to show up. We need to be up. We need to be defenders of life. We need to know the purpose for which I was born so that I clearly know my mission. And then I teach it to my sons and to my coworkers, and that I'm not in this.
And our daughters.
And our daughters. And I'm not in this place of forbidden grief where the world has said, you don't have a voice, you don't have a say, and we don't care that your heart hurts, and we don't care that you became a drug addict, and we don't care because none of that matters.
Yeah.
But that is a lie from the pit of hell, because there's nothing new under the sun, is there?
That's
here,
right.
We are in 2026, and we're still doing the same mm-hmm. thing. And we all think that Jesus or God is going to change the rules just for us. He doesn't. When he gave Moses, thou shalt not kill, it's still the law of the land throughout the whole world, not just in America, throughout the whole world. And we, as people of God, have to be defenders of life. So how are ways where Men for Life are going to empower the men to get off the sidelines and get into, do you go out and speak? Do you
yes.
wake them up? Tell me how they can get in touch with Men for Life and find their mission and their call.
Yeah, I think the first place that they can go is to the pregnancy centers, where these young men have the power to end that single abortion. But we also, as good men right now in those communities, have the power to change that young man, right? Mm-hmm. And if we change that young man and we build him up to be a biblically masculine man through mentorship programs, through fatherhood programs, which is the main initiative of Men for Life, is a fatherhood program for pregnancy centers, then we can change him and the community so that they become a life-affirming man, right? Mm-hmm. But a second place, and this is really important, and I think God showed this to me last week for a reason, is there is now, you know, you talk about the opposition wanting to silence men, right? And for 50 years, they were fine just telling pro-life men, you don't have a right to talk. But no longer are they okay with that. So here's what they're doing now. There's an organization called Men for Choice. Mm. And Men for Choice, I think, has been around since 2019. But nobody's ever heard of them until the last year. Somebody's given them a ton of money where now they are on campuses training young men in college yeah. to be pro-abortion, mm-hmm. right? And if we're not meeting that, so that's the next step for Men for Life, is being on campuses, training young men on the importance of the sanctity of life, on the importance of leading, you know, on protecting, providing, leading and serving, and leaving a legacy that honors God. Because the opposition is no longer okay saying men don't have a voice.
Right.
Right now they're saying men have a voice, and we understand how powerful that voice is. And we understand that if we don't hurry up, we see what's happening. We see that men are turning towards God, yeah. these young men. If we don't train them mm-hmm. in our ways, then God's side's gonna get them
mm-hmm.
and train them in the right ways.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the kicker. If we're not there,
right.
then again, it's going to be silence and passivity that loses.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we need to really step up and say, hey, this is the time and this is what we need to do. And I think that a training ground for those young men is where we start,
mm-hmm.
you know, to train to change the culture. But, you know, if they go to menforlife.org, you know, and enter the arena is what the big button says,
mm-hmm.
You know, and join the movement to help us to train these fathers and fatherhood mm-hmm. programs, to which takes action, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I'm not asking you to help us by just sending us a bunch of money. I'm asking you to help us by doing something,
mm-hmm.
right? By using your time and your talent and by going out and saying, hey, I'm a man. Mm-hmm. And as a man, I can teach you how to be a man.
Right.
You know, and to do that, and then to allow us to take that same type of training onto college campuses in the face of Men for Choice, mm-hmm. who, I'm going to be honest with you, if you watch their videos, it's a bunch of doofuses, but we don't want them training good men
right.
on how to be men.
Right. Because there is an indoctrination, right?
Yes.
It's kind of like we want to fill your mind with this poison and show you how you can impregnate a girl. And we know our number one client and at most pregnancy medical centers is between the ages of 19 and 24.
Right.
Well, where is everybody between the ages of 19 and 24? They went off to college.
Right.
And they could have come from good, strong Christian Catholic families. But now it's like there's no rules here. I get to live as I choose and make the choices where I want to make them. And that's between the ages where most abortions are happening too. So it is. It's like we got to show up, we got to be up, we got to be ready, because it is a ready, aim, fire. We have to empower men to do the right thing.
Right. And look, I'll tell you something that's really fascinating. When you look at that age group, and I'm going to go 18 to 29 because that's what the study shows. But there was a study done last year that showed that conservative males, 18 to 29, when given a list of 13 indicators of success, okay, chose children as the number one indicator of success. Mm-hmm. Conservative women chose children at 4. Liberal men in that same age group chose children, I think, at 6 or 10. Liberal women chose children at 12 out of 13. Right above social media influencer, right? That's the only thing that they wanted less than children.
Wow.
And I think that most of them were lying about that. But I think that what's important about that is that good men see the value in God's design,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're turning. You can also look at other statistics that show that 18 to 29 year old men have shifted from the left, the ideology of abortion, to the right, by 7 percentage points, so a 14-point spread from 2020 to 24. They're leaving the lies and turning towards the truth, mm-hmm. right? And the truth is in the Word, mm-hmm. you know? And so another one showed that same age group, 42%, this is this year, 42% of young men in that age group now say church and God mm-hmm. are important to them.
Right.
This is a big deal. And if we,
right,
the men in our generations, mm-hmm. aren't there to meet them and foster mm-hmm. that and help them to grow and form them,
mm-hmm.
then they're going to find formation somewhere else.
Right.
We're going to take a break at this point and hold you over for the final segment, get your best stuff together for the last few minutes here, and go to menforlife.org, menforlife.org. Maybe you've got this yearning, something's being stirred up in you, like's happening across our country, that there is some kind of a grace-filled awakening that's taking place, and Men for Life wants to catch that and help to not only encourage men, but to equip them for that work at this moment in history. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away. Up our conversation with Sean Corcoran, and Sean, just a few minutes left. I mean, I really feel, you know, the enlightenment or awakening among men, the kind of turning, changing, menforlife.org, go there, wanting to catch this, wanting to equip. And so maybe you've got a number of men that are just saying that initiative, fatherhood initiative in pregnancy help centers and so on. I got some time, I could do that, but I'm not sure that I'm ready to say what I need to say. But you're saying we can equip you. We have a way of communicating this to other people,
yes,
to other men.
So I think the first and easiest resource, we do have the Men for Life podcast, which is on YouTube. So that's one place where you can get information. Also through our email list, which you can sign up for on our website. And you know what Men for Life is really, we're building a movement. You know, our goal is not only to be in 1,600 pregnancy centers in the next 10 years, but to have 20,000 active members. And where that starts is by enough people, men and women alike, showing interest through our email list, so that I can then open up the Men for Life arena. And the Men for Life arena will be an online membership community with mentors, pro-life apologetics, you know, and more than just pro-life, because I think that this is important to men of all generations, to talk about issues that are important to men, to talk about masculinity, to talk about faith, fitness, finances, you know, to talk about all of the fulfillment, right? Mm-hmm. The things, marriage, parenting, that are important to men. And I've been blessed through this journey to meet so many men in specific niches who are willing and ready to come on and do basically a live podcast with Q&A, you know, for the members of this community once it's ready to open. And we're aiming for the spring, but first we have to know that there's enough interest. We have to have enough members of our email list. So today, you know, where you can be start getting equipped.
Yeah.
Is through our email list, join the movement, you know, just go to menforlife.org and sign up, and you'll get an email every week that has information about everything that we're doing. And, you know, it, honestly, because of this conversation, is gonna start having something each week that equips people to be able to be more active in the pro-life movement.
Sean, thanks so much for being with us. Welcome to the EWTN family. The EWTN family needs Men for Life. And this is happening, this is unfolding, this is gonna grow. And I hope many, many people respond to sow into Men for Life. Thank you so much. We look forward to having you back again soon.
Thank you both for having me.
So go to menforlife.org. There's information there. You can contact, speak with Sean, have him come out, you know, and speak to your organization, your group, your parish, men's groups, whatever it might be, banquets. You know, he's willing to do all of that. And he's talking about Men for Choice and all the money that's come in, filthy money for that. His ministry is well worth your sowing into this ministry financially as well. We need this. You're an important part of the CWTN family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Evil is not equal to good, and darkness is not equal to the light. We just need to be anointed in him and be about it. Open your mouth, open your lips, and I will fill your lips. I'll give you what you need right at the time to speak what you need to speak about life, marriage, and the family. Bye now.